Arizona News Radio. A Tempe man's been arrested for sexual assault at a Phoenix resort.
Officer James Holmes says on Monday, a female employee at the Arizona Grand Resort thought nothing of a man lingering outside of a resort bathroom, and she entered. Then while washing her hands, the man came up behind her and pinned her to the floor, removing her underwear.
Yavapai County Sheriff's Search and Rescue Team finds the body of a 21-year-old man from New York who apparently fell while hiking Bell Rock near Sedona.
Looks like he fell. The trauma to his body indicated he likely died from injuries sustained after the fall.
Pinal County Sheriff's deputies rescued three hikers lost in the superstitions.
This is our fourth rescue in under a week and a half, and oddly enough, most of our rescues are local people.
Peoria police looking for suspects who tossed a Molotov cocktail into a home with three kids and three adults.
The adults were able to extinguish the flames pretty quickly before fire crews arrived. Nobody was actually injured.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX Traffic A service of Allstate. We have a wreck in Ahwatukee, Chandler Boulevard east of 48th Street. Also look for a wreck at Elliott Road and eastbound I-10. Also, another collision, 103rd Avenue, that is just north of Northern. If saving money is one of your New Year's resolutions, switch to the Allstate Value Plan. It's their most affordable car insurance, and you still get an agent. Dollar for dollar, nobody protects you like Allstate. Here's your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. We're back into the 70s tomorrow for the first time in quite a while. And then Friday and Saturday, 72 degrees winding out the year and bringing in 2012 on Sunday. Sunny skies, 71. Jim Howell, KFNX Newstalk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. Currently we're at 67 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to KFNX Newstalk Radio, 1100. Up next, Legalese with Dennis Willinchek.
When I was about 7 or 8 years old, I started smoking. Then when I was about 16 years old, I ended up smoking a pack a day and ended up smoking 3 packs a day. And then when my son was born in 94, I decided then I wanted to quit smoking. You got to have somebody to support you. There has to be at least one person in your life to be able to talk to and say, hey, I need help. The day I quit was the day that life began again.
Only you can make you quit. If you're ready, we can help. Call the Arizona Smokers Helpline at 800-55-66-222 or visit ashline.org.
Seems like every place is promising vacation deals these days, but Laughlin delivers. They have great rates at a fraction of other destinations. We're talking rooms, food, entertainment, the whole shebang. So when you feel the urge to run off for some fun along the Colorado River, you won't have to go hundreds of miles to get there. Laughlin's close, it's affordable, and it comes through on its promise. For special offers or to book now, go to visitlaughlin.com. Laughlin, Nevada. It's like you own the place.
Do you know what I've discovered about myself since I've been in college?
Why do you want to go to college?
Because we learned that we can no longer afford the mistakes of the past.
Welcome to Legalese. This is Jack Willinchek. Your regular host, Dennis Willinchek, is tied up in court. Today on the show, we're having less of a focused show than we usually do. We've got three guests in studio, all ASU students, all politically active ASU students. We've got Kristen Middleton, who's the vice president of College Republicans, Carlos Alfaro, who's the president of Students for Liberty, and Abraham Hamadeh, also a member of College Republicans, right?
Yeah, I lead the Youth for Ron Paul group over there.
Okay. We're basically just talking about the issues that impact today's youth, the things that they care about. I've got a whole gigantic list of questions about anything and everything. Before we get to that, though, I'll ask you guys to talk about the organizations that you're members of. We'll start with you, Kristen, just because you're the first one here on my sheet. You're the vice president of College Republicans, so tell us a little bit about what the College Republicans are about.
Well, we're basically a group of students who are, we tend to be conservative with a few libertarian-minded students, too. And we meet once a week, and we get together and just talk politics, and we have speakers that will come into our meetings and talk to us about issues. For example, we also have candidates that are running for office. Like, we had Matt Salmon and Wes Gullet come in last semester.
Yeah, we had both of them on the show. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's just a great group to get active in if you're into politics, because you also get to network with a bunch of students that are really active in Arizona politics as well. It's just a great group to meet people that are like you. And I can honestly say that all my best friends are from College Republicans. So, I mean, it it's definitely a great impact on your life.
That's great. Yeah, I'm actually I'm a PC now in the Republican Party, even though I'm sure it'll come forth in the show. I'm very middle ground on just about every issue, but I've got some friends that are members of the Republican Party, and then they've, just like you're saying, they're still friends with the people they met back in college. So it's not just about political activity. It's about what any college club is about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Meeting people. So I'll turn to you now, Carlos. You're the president of Students for Liberty. Tell us something about Students for Liberty.
Yeah, well, Students for Liberty is an international organization. We cater to students. We are run by students and for students to network, train, and support students that want to further the Liberty Movement. So
the Liberty Movement. Tell us about the Liberty Movement.
The Liberty Movement. Well, it's made up of the free market. Free market ideas and freedom.
And freedom.
Basically. Yeah. So we get together and we talk about all sorts of issues. It's a lot more laid back, a lot more conversation. We talk about anything from why we should legalize prostitution to taxation being theft.
I'm going to give you the opportunity to say that at least once in the show. I promise you that.
Thank you. We just get together. We talk about those issues. We like to say we're business in the front because all our students are trained. They understand what the principles and values of liberty are, and we network with different groups. And then we're party in the back. We're kind of like a mullet. In that sense. We like to party and go hang out and make good friends.
All right. And then, Abraham, you're a member of the College Republicans, and also you're telling us you're with Ron Paul?
Well, yeah, I lead the Youth for Ron Paul chapter at ASU, and also I'm the coordinator for Arizona. And mine's a bit more focused than others. We were set up to get Ron Paul elected in Arizona. And, we have debate watch parties instead of, football watch parties. And we're all friends over here, which is great. When you get into that community, it's so small, and it's important to be, active with libertarians and Republicans, to get the message across.
Yeah. Are you guys all political science majors?
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm an economics and American history.
Very good. Yeah, I was a math major, which is totally useless in every way.
I'm sure.
All right. So I guess we'll get into it. The first question I want to ask you guys, because this is something we touched upon way back when in the show. I had a real good friend of mine from high school who he's 27 years old now, and when he was born in Mexico. When he first came to the country, he was 3 years old. He graduated high school with me. He graduated college, went to U of A, but he's actually being deported by the federal government because when he came in at the age of 3, he didn't enter legally. As I said it before in the show, I'm middle ground on a lot of issues, but on this issue in particular, when I learned about that, it blew my mind. The DREAM Act is something people talk about. It's something that would basically grant citizenship, the way I understand it, to if you've graduated from college in the United States. It gives you a path to citizenship. And we were talking about this a little bit before the show, Carlos. You said you – I asked if you knew anybody who's in this kind of a situation. I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
In fact, you were telling me you just became a citizen. Is that
right? Right. That was in 07. I came here with my family in 2001. I was born in Mexico. I have two younger brothers, mom and a dad, and we came over here. To seek a better life, to seek the American dream, as some would say. And so that whole process is so – I think the reason why we have so many problems and why a lot of stories occur, like the ones that you just said with your friend, is because our immigration system is way, way complicated.
Right.
And it's really – it's a protectionist kind of policy.
Mm-hmm.
So basically we just want to build up a wall and kind of be really specific on who we want in here and who we want out. Which is completely against the principles of freedom, in my opinion. It took me about 3 years to get all the paperwork done and thousands of dollars for me and my brothers to come across legally.
Right, it's a very expensive process.
Very expensive process. It's time-consuming. And you can see why some of these people make the decision of just paying a coyote or a person that gets you through the border. Pay him $1,000 or a couple thousand, and he'll get you here in 2 days.
That's pretty much where I come out on it. But we're going to turn to our other two guests here who are members of College Republicans and no doubt have differing views. I pretty much come out on this just where Carlos does. I think the system is broken, and where a system is broken, then you have problems. You know, like when amendment was passed to ban liquor all across the country, I think we started seeing problems in organized crime because most people would agree that's a bad law. So, do you two agree that our current federal system for granting citizenship is a system of bad laws, or do you disagree with that?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much broken. I would agree with you, but I just don't think the DREAM Act is a solution to it. I don't think rewarding bad behavior is a solution. You know, my parents are also immigrants too, and it took them 20 some odd years to be citizens. That's just ridiculous.
Right.
So I think fundamentally the system's broken. But you know, DREAM Act, I just don't see that as a solution, really.
Yeah. What's the problem you think with the DREAM Act?
Well, the DREAM Act, you know, it gives students, also illegal immigrants, this, you know, in-state tuition, and I think that's a fundamental problem.
Okay.
You have other, you know, states to give them that.
So you're concerned more about state tuition. You're concerned more about the fiscal effect.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I think most people agree that the DREAM Act, it's been kicked around now for years, and nothing ever really seems to happen with it. There's been some talk recently, I don't know if you guys have heard anything about it, that the president wants to push it through. But, you know, I guess that all remains to be seen. All right. Let me ask a nice broad question here. There's really no wrong answer to it. As students, I think you probably appreciate that. What is the American dream?
Well, for me, the American dream is just working hard and getting the benefits of your hard work. That's basically the American dream for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's about personal responsibility for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's accurate to say.
Yeah, you know, for me, I've lived it. I've lived it with my parents. They came here, you know, from Syria to Chicago with nothing, like very little education. They came here. They worked their way up, and, you know, God bless, now I'm, you know, my family's successful. So I've seen it personally. I've seen why, you know, immigrants want to come to this country. It's because of the free market, it's because of personal responsibility. You know, America's always been attractive, you know, to immigrants because they have that same mindset that they want to do better for themselves. And the American dream is just working hard for it, and it's still attainable, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's more about individual choices, being free to choose the life that you want to live. I believe it's all about freedom in that sense, to live however you want to live personally, and also to do what you want to do and have to do to survive economically. So I think it's different for everybody, of course. It's my dream is going to be different from what Abraham or your dream is going to be like. But I think we all connect at the freedom aspect, and that's that we can choose however we like without any regulation, without any kind of oversight over that. And I think that's what made America great.
All right. I think what we'll talk about, we'll probably save this for the next segment. I'd like to know what you guys think about the upcoming presidential election. I was a younger man the last election, and I know that there was a lot of support among younger people for President Obama that time around. I'd like to know whether that's still the case. But we're going to go ahead and take our break here. This is Jack Willinchek on Legalese on KFNX 1100 AM.
For news and weather every half hour around the clock, set your center button to 1100 AM and lock it in. KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Rex Perry here. If you would like to be a guest on our radio show for free, you can go to our website, 123bz.com. That's 123, B as in boy, Z as in zebra.com. Send us an email. My email address is right there on the very first page. Just send me a synopsis of your business. Give me a little bit of background, contact information, and we'll get back with you and see if you could do a radio interview on the air on B2B Radio. That's the name of our show, and we'd love to have you as a guest. 123bz.com.
Where else are you going to find a Master of Science program in technology that creates thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology? Where else are you going to discover a graduate degree in technology that is customized to meet your objectives? Where else in the Valley, on campus or online, can you study at the only private university that gives you the opportunity to focus in specialized areas like network security, artificial life programming, and game studies, as well as technology management? Where else? Where else but the University of Advancing Technology? UAT's graduate technology program is accelerated. It combines business with technology. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in high-tech fields. Feed your brain, lead, manage. You won't find this innovative environment anywhere else. UAT, the select private university where you'll be fully immersed in technology. The experience is unrivaled. Click uat.edu. That's uat.edu.
London Gold, it's the best.
When it comes to fine jewelry, in every large city there is one jeweler who makes the difference. In the Phoenix metro area, that jeweler is London Gold. London Gold Jewelers is now offering you diamonds, accompanied with a certificate, at direct dealer cost. As the rest of the Valley jewelers promote their sales, we at London Gold would like you to know that you can buy your loose diamond this holiday season at the very same price dealers pay across the country. That means more value for your money, more diamond for your money. And for the holidays, that adds up to a pretty brilliant gift and a very sweet surprise. London Gold, serving the Valley with three locations, Arrowhead, Chandler, and Scottsdale. Online at londongold.com.
London Gold, it's the best.
We will not be an easy target. We will never roll over and let pain plan our day, or let an ache tell us what we can and cannot do. We will not linger on the sofa, ask somebody else to bring us the mail, or take the parking space closest to the door. But what we will do is take action. We will plan ahead. We will protect our bodies and fight back by moving. Lace up our sneakers and grab our tennis rackets. We will bowl. We will do our morning laps and bike ride through Saturday afternoon. We will walk our dogs around the block. We will pass up the elevator and proudly take the stairs. Because arthritis can't beat us if we beat it first. In the fight against arthritis, you need a weapon. What's yours? To learn more, visit us at fightarthritispain.org. This message brought to you by the Arthritis Foundation and the Ad Council.
The nation's favorite show for a common-sense approach to retirement planning is on News Talk 1100 KFNX. Listen to the Financial Safari with local advisor Stephanie Fullerton Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. here on News Talk 1100 KFNX.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Wilenchek. Your regular host, Dennis Wilenchek, is tied up in court. We're just talking about whatever young people feel like talking about in the world of politics and current events. We've got three guests in studio. Ms. Kristen Middleton, Vice President of College Republicans at ASU. Also, Carlos Alfaro, who's the President of Students for Liberty, another organization at ASU. And Abraham Hamede, who's active in the College Republicans, also involved in the Ron Paul campaign. Before we went to the break, we were talking about the upcoming presidential election. I thought it'd be a good idea to take a quick survey here on who you guys would vote for, who you think is even going to be in that election. Clearly, one of us is a supporter of Ron Paul, so.
you know where I stand. I think it'll come down to Newt Gingrich, Romney, and Ron Paul probably. They'll make it to Arizona, so maybe Perry. Perry could have a shot, but no, we'll see it weed out after Iowa, New Hampshire.
It's kind of sad what's happened to Rick Perry. I was originally kind of impressed with him, and then
I don't know where that's gone. What do you think, Kristen?
I am actually a Mitt Romney supporter, so I think he's going to win the primary, of course. But like Abraham said, I think it's definitely going to be between Mitt Romney and Ron Paul, more so than Newt Gingrich. I think Newt Gingrich is just going to fall more in the polls, and I think it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next month, though.
I don't imagine Newt Gingrich is very popular with young people. I heard my dad just talking about his thoughts, and I know that he likes Newt Gingrich just because he's got some great ideas. I think older people are bigger on great ideas. I'm more on style and substance. Let's turn to you, Carlos.
Definitely Ron Paul on that one. I think that Newt Gingrich, he's got this talk, like Mitt Romney. They both have the talk. The walk is not there. It's non-existent. They've been sitting on their butt about it. They talk about personal liberty, and yet they want to mandate us to buy health insurance, or they want to raise taxes, or they want more regulations over businesses because they feel like they have to be our moms or our dad, whatever. So I think Ron Paul is strong in the principles of liberty, is strong in the Constitution, and that's what made this country great, to tell you the truth.
So it sounds like if we had the election today with just the four of us, it would be Ron Paul. Ron Paul.
Sorry, Mitt.
Let's turn to this, because this is something that we covered on an earlier show, and I know there's a lot of listener interest in it. I don't know if it was a constitutional amendment, or I think it was just a law that was passed in New York that allowed gay marriage. I know in general I think younger people tend to be supportive of it, but let's see if that's the case with our in-studio panel today. We'll start with you, Abraham. How do you come out on this issue?
I come out on the side of liberty. I just don't think the government should be involved in marriage. Since that's happened, you know, we've just seen a moral decay, and I believe you should go back to the church. If a gay person wants to marry another gay person, they can find a church. There are some churches that have that.
As far as legal status goes, as far as recognizing it as a marriage.
That's probably more complicated, but that should probably be done at the state level, which it has now.
What do you think, Kristen?
I don't think gay marriage is a government issue as well. I think it's more of a church institution issue. I don't think the federal government should be telling you who you should get married to in the first place.
As I see, it's not an issue of telling people who to get married to, but it's allowing those marriages.
Yeah, but I don't think they should outlaw it. I think it's overreaching.
Just to be clear, you support gay marriage, right?
You can say that.
Okay. You're basically supported too, right, Abraham?
I don't support it, you know, off religious beliefs, but, you know,
Legally.
Legally, I recognize it.
Yeah.
It's just like polygamy, and, you know, there's some in Utah. The state doesn't regulate it anymore, and that should be
right.
Technically, it is illegal, but they just don't have the resources to regulate it anymore.
Right. I see what your point is. Yeah, legally speaking, I mean, there are active benefits that come from recognizing a marriage. So it's not so much the state not regulating it as refusing to give benefits. Let's turn to you, Carlos.
For me, it's not about gay marriage by itself. I think I just don't recognize the authority of any government to tell me what I can do in my bedroom or not, or what I can do in my house
right.
or in my personal
relationship.
That's
very libertarian perspective.
I would say we're more libertarian leaning. Like I said, the authority of the government is not there to tell you who to hang out with or who to kiss
right.
or who to, you know, be in the bedroom with. And I think that is an overreach in our personal freedoms. People who are interested in this and who want to further state marriage and to kind of solidify that marriage is between a man and a woman are people, in my opinion, who want to use the force of the government, because every law is force, to tell other people and make them do what they see fit. So I think
right.
it's just using the government as a weapon.
That's a very libertarian perspective. You object to any kind of interference the government would have in those areas of a person's life. It's not even an issue for you of right or wrong.
Correct.
Okay. I think in general a lot of young people come out that way on the issue of gay marriage. So we'll see what happens with this in the next, you know, 20 or so years. We'll leave it at that. I've got some questions here about health care. I don't know if that's a very active issue for young people today. It's probably something that a lot of older listeners are concerned about. Do you guys have any opinions on the health care bill? Or
there's people that are middle-income people that cannot afford health care. That is a big issue because people are dying because they're not getting the right care, or they're going into debt, or the taxpayers end up paying for the bill. And that's obviously bankrupting us. It's just becoming another social program. I think that that is because there's a lack of a market for health care. There's no freedom in opening up the markets and letting companies compete with each other. There's a lot of regulation. There's a lot of oversight. And the government's just got its hands everywhere. I think that's the problem. And what the health care bill does is it's basically just taking that whole system and just making it a government program. It's telling everybody in the country what to buy. This is a central key. It's key to our freedom to say that if the government can tell you what you can buy, what's next?
There's a lot of constitutional issues there, too.
Of course.
Do you guys have any feelings on the health care bill?
I personally think that the health care bill is absolutely a disaster, and you know the individual mandate especially, but we have to go back to the root causes of it. We've lost the doctor-patient relationship over the years. I pay out of cost when I go to the doctors a lot of times, and I call and ask them, you know, what are your prices? A lot of times they don't even know, and you negotiate with it. And I think that's how ultimately health care is going to have to be solved, is going back to an individual basis where you deal with a doctor, much like a marketplace, like what Carlos was saying. It's all about freedom in a free market, and I truly believe that will help. You know, it's gotten the most people out of poverty, in my opinion, than any other system in the world.
Okay. All three of you are undergraduates at Arizona State University. Are you juniors, seniors?
I'm a junior.
Okay.
Almost done.
Because my next question is about the job market. You've seen something of what your prospects are. How do you feel about that? I know this is a big problem for a lot of young people today.
I would say that there's a big problem in this country where you see an entrepreneur that has been in the market for many, many years, and he looks for a new enterprise to go into. He's got millions of dollars, or companies have millions of dollars to grow, and then they start looking, where is the best place for me to grow? Is it Massachusetts, or is it Florida, or is it New York or Arizona? And even if it's like an international business, they get to see, is it America, or is it places like Singapore and Taiwan? Right. I think the biggest problem is that not enough businesses are bringing enough jobs to the market because they don't come here. They start leaving.
And few of the reason is because of overregulation.
Of course. I mean, we have among the highest business taxes in the world. And for a free society, that's not a very consistent policy.
All right. Well, we've got to take another break here. When we come back, we're talking with three ASU students about their views on politics and current events. This is Jack Wilenchek on KFNX 1100 AM.
Recovery benefits everyone.
I started my own company.
I got my dad back.
My friends believe in me.
Substance use and mental disorders can be treated. It all starts on day one. Join the Voices for Recovery. For information and treatment referral for you or someone you love, call 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-4357. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
CNN Radio, I'm Edgar Tragetz. The latest CNN Time ORC poll shows a fading Newt Gingrich and fresh energy for Rick Santorum. From 33% of support early in the month, Gingrich is down to 14% now, and that trails Santorum, who's up to 16% backing. Meanwhile, with 25% support, CNN polling director Keating Holling says Mitt Romney is holding his own.
He has a residual strength that not a lot of people have been mentioning. He has a lot of people who voted for him 4 years ago. In 2008, he did finish second in the Iowa caucuses.
The caucuses are 6 days away. Arab League monitors continue their tour of the volatile city of Homs on Wednesday. Tomorrow, they're scheduled to visit other strife-torn areas, including Daraa, Idlib, and Hama. Nearly 300,000 Colorful Hearts teddy bears are being recalled by the Build-A-Bear Workshop Company. Federal Consumer Product Safety officials say there's a choking threat from the bear's eyes, which could fall out. This is CNN Radio.
Arizona News Radio, a New York man apparently falls to his death hiking near Bell Rock outside of Sedona.
He decided to attack a cliff, a fairly sheer cliff face, and sort of mini mountain range west of Bell Rock, and ended up on a ledge where he couldn't get back down.
Pinal County Sheriff's deputies rescue three hikers lost in the Superstition Mountains. Phoenix police arrest a Tempe man for sexually assaulting a woman at a Phoenix resort.
Obviously, she's concerned about why he's there, and she tried to be normal. Unfortunately, the suspect at that point came up behind her, grabbed her, and pulled her to the floor.
Peoria police looking for suspects who tossed a Molotov cocktail into a home on Christmas Eve. Three kids, three adults inside.
Could be a case of mistaken identity or a random act. We're not sure, and just seeking information on anybody that might know what took place.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, once again a service of Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport. Lots of activity, gang. Look for a wreck, Elliott Road and I-10, also Chandler Boulevard at 48th Street. Another collision, University Drive south of the 10. Have an accident, Greenway at Hayden Loop, and that's at Scottsdale Road. Flying over the holidays? Well, from December 16th through January 4th, Save 40% on the Terminal Garage full day rate at Sky Harbor's Holiday Parking Coupon. Download the coupon at skyharbor.com. Here's Jim Howell.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. We're back into the 70s tomorrow for the first time in quite a while. And then Friday and Saturday, 72 degrees winding out the year and bringing in 2012 on Sunday. Sunny skies, 71. Jim Howell, KFNX Newstalk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. Currently, we are at 65 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to KFNX Newstalk Radio, 1100. I'm Chad Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Hi friends, Scott Luther, the King of Gold and Silver. Join the protest against Wall Street. Buy silver. Why? Silver in long term will outperform gold 3-1. The world's best experts on our roundtable panel, Mike Maloney, invests 90% of his net worth into silver.
I'm a precious metals investor. My only investment is gold and silver. I'm fully diversified. I've got both gold and silver. Mostly silver. About 90% of the cash that I have, I buy silver.
Mahoney predicts silver to hit $1,500 in the long term and over $100 by the year's end. Call me and lock in this non-confiscatable silver at only 1% over dealer's cost. Call before the silver supply is gone. 1-888-551-2646. I pay for shipping. Hurry. Turn 10K into 50K, 50K into $250,000. 888-551-2646. Hi-ho, silver away.
I'm a professional magician and patient of Dr. Bruce Newman. However, the real magic in my life came when Dr. Newman performed laser surgery on my eyes, and I can now see everything clearly. For your LASIK or cataract procedure, Dr. Newman is one of the most experienced board-certified ophthalmologists in the valley. The Newman Eye Center also treats glaucoma, dry eyes, and performs cosmetic surgery. Call 602-788-8080. That's 602-788-8080. Or visit NewmanEyeCenter.com. The Newman Eye Center. Most insurance accepted.
You have the right to remain silent. If you give up the right to remain silent, anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to speak with an attorney.
Get me my lawyer!
And to have the attorney present during questioning. If you so desire and cannot afford one, an attorney will be appointed for you without charge before questioning. Now, do you understand each of these rights I've explained to you?
Get me my lawyer! I've been humiliated!
Welcome back to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Wilenchek. Your regular host, Dennis Wilenchek, is tied up in court. We have on the show today three ASU students who are, unlike I think the majority of young people, I can say from personal experience, very interested in politics and very interested in making a difference. We were just talking about that on the break. You know, I pretty much tuned out through most of my college years. I don't think I voted once. It was after that, and after I started getting into the workforce, that I realized that, you know, what the government does matters. What the government does has an effect on people. Generally, I think as people get older, they tend to realize that more. So I think the question I have for you is what at the age you are now has you know turned you on to political issues and current events. We'll start with you, Carlos.
What turns me on to political issues and events? I believe that it impacts every single aspect of your life. I mean, how free you are to walk out of your door and go to work. I mean, there's so many little events that happen that are regulated or that you don't have the freedom to do. I grew up in a country where even the most personal of things you would have to ask permission for. From opening a business to even in Mexico City, they have streets where you can walk on and not walk on. I mean, so it's
really
yes, it gets pretty tyrannical in that sense. So coming from a background like that, I kind of took the view of wow. When I came to America, I said, wow, these people are different. Why is that?
And that's because you can walk on any street you want to.
You can walk on any street you want to, and you know, people protesting whenever they want. The freedom of speech is so important. So it's basically about the freedom to choose what you, how you live your life.
Right.
Okay, what are your thoughts, Kristen? What got you interested in politics and current events?
Well, basically for me, I've been interested in politics from a very young age. I remember watching the 2000 presidential election with my parents and being really into that. And as a 10-year-old, being into it, it's kind of weird. So my love for politics has just grown with age, I think. I love policy. I just love knowing how our government and our daily lives are run. And someday I would love to run for a political office, and just the idea of having an impact or on a way on people's lives, yeah, would just be amazing to me.
It's a great idea. I mean, I think a lot of politicians will tell you that it's a pretty thankless job and heavily underpaid.
Good. Let's keep it that way.
But how about you, Abraham? What turned you on to politics and current events?
You know, it would have to be Ron Paul back in 2007. You know, I was about 16 years old then, and, you know, just his stances just are so captivating. And, you know, he really understands, you know, why we're in this mess and how we're going to get out of it. And to me, I feel like younger people are going to be forced into getting into politics because we're going to go bankrupt or there's some serious issues with this country. And you already see that happening with, you know, Occupy Wall Street, although I don't agree with them, but they are getting interested in some policy level. So, I do see a change and shift of people's attitudes towards politics and, you know, policy in general.
You know, Occupy Wall Street, we should probably talk about that a little bit. I'm sure one of us has a lot to say about it. Carlos, I know you've got a lot of libertarian perspectives, and what are your feelings on Occupy Wall Street?
Well, right off the beginning, I mean, what they're protesting is fairly simple. I mean, they can obviously see the gap between the rich and the poor. The problem is that government and big business is not two things anymore. They're tied together. They're one-on-one, you know. Mm-hmm. Hand by hand, side mm-hmm. by side. And that creates a lot of corruption. That creates people cheating the system. When they make bad choices, they get bailed out, stuff like that. And that's why you see that's a big reason why you see that big wealth gap, is that the top 1% is well connected with the big government and all the regulators, which allow them to kind of beat the system or go around the system, which is not capitalism at all. Capitalism is actually against that. What it is, it's crony capitalism. It's favored people gaining control of the system.
Hmm. Okay. Kristen, what are your thoughts on the Occupy Walls? First of all, I don't know if – have you seen them down there at ASU? Are they there at all?
I haven't seen them.
Yeah, because I remember when I graduated from ASU, and I remember there were always political protesters of some kind walking mm-hmm. around there.
Yeah.
Kind of surprised at that. But what are your thoughts on Occupy Wall Street?
I personally think they're protesting the wrong group. I think they should be protesting the government for doing all the corporate bailouts,
right.
Which is getting us more in a mess.
And that's where I come out on it, too.
Yeah.
I feel there's something there that probably shouldn't have happened. I'm like I said before, I'm generally middle ground on a lot of issues, but I'm also fiscally very conservative. I don't like the idea of subsidies. I don't think I've ever seen a successful subsidy in the long run that needed to, you know, where there need to be a subsidy. Abraham, what are your thoughts on Occupy Wall Street?
Yeah, I would agree with Carlos and Kristen, you know, generally in what, you know, Occupy Wall Street stands for. But a lot of it is pretty ridiculous. You know, they want bailouts for themselves, not for the for the corporations, which, you know, they don't understand the philosophy behind what they're saying.
Yeah, I have that same feeling. I think a lot of them are going a little bit too far with it.
And that's the moral hazard, by the way. I mean, when the government is bailing out and helping out a certain individual, you see that and you're like, that's not fair. Give me some too. And by the way, that was wrong, so take it away from them, but just keep giving me. So yeah, we're creating
that's
a culture.
That's when it goes too far.
Yeah.
I agree with that. You know, I've got this question here. I know this was a little bit of an issue in the last presidential election. I haven't really heard anybody bring it up again in this election, but I know there was some talk about, you know, reinstituting the draft in the last election. I haven't heard any talk about it, but that's definitely an issue that would impact the people sitting here in this room. We're all around that age. What are your feelings about a military draft?
Well, I am personally against the draft. I don't think the government has a right to tell you to fight a war that you don't believe in. If you want to fight in the war, you can volunteer for it, which a lot of people do. It's more of an issue that I don't think the government has the right to own your life. That's basically it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if there's even a need for it right now. I think, you know, in the last election with you know, the battles still going on, that we felt there was a need. But at this point, I don't know if that's really a major issue. Let's turn to foreign policy a little bit. I'll be the first one to admit I've really got my head in the sand, but I think the three people sitting here with me don't, and I'm very impressed with that. Well, one of you mentioned what's going on in Korea. I think that was you, Abraham. If you'd like to talk about that some more, go for it.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about the draft. You know, that could be a situation where, you know, that I can see why McCain would want a draft for it, because, you know, you never know if there's going to be another war that happens. And what I think, and I want to go back to the draft for a bit, you know, 1% of this country is fighting these wars, and I think that's a shame.
Not the other 1%.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, a lot of us, we just don't feel connected with the military anymore, and I could see why they, you know, if I think if we had the draft, we'd end the wars much quicker, because then the people would demand that the wars end.
Okay.
And right now we just, you know, put it on the belly of China, our debt. So North Korea is a, you know, it's an issue, and I hope it doesn't lead to war, but there's a 27-year-old kid now leading a nuclear-armed state, and I think that should concern all of us.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with. I'm 27, so, yeah, I think we should all be scared if I were in that position. Do you guys want to say anything about India? About Korea?
I think it's going to be interesting to watch probably in the next few years to see what happens with them, with their new leader, if he's going to be meaner than his father, or definitely worth a watch.
It's actually fascinating to me to see some people like being really scared, especially from what some of the politicians, especially I'm thinking of John McCain, someone like that, thinking that North Korea is such a big threat to America or to South Korea. Even.
Yeah, I know.
South Korea's economy is 26 times larger than North Korea's, and they're afraid that they're going to invade. That's kind of ridiculous. They don't have a modern medicine. I mean, this is a country that is impoverished. We really don't need to be protecting South Korea from North Korea, like the other countries. We don't need to be all around the world spreading democracy. The Bush Doctrine really got implemented into our culture, and I don't understand why.
Yeah, well, you know, I tend to agree with you that North Korea is not as much of a threat as we'd like to think it is. I think that's a recurring pattern in foreign policy for the last, you know, however many years. We thought USSR was a giant threat, and it kind of imploded. I have the feeling North Korea is exactly the same situation. It's just going to implode at some point, and we have nothing to worry about. But talking about Asia, I think we got to take a break here in a couple minutes. But, yeah, why don't we go ahead and do that? When we come back from the break, I graduated from ASU. I was a math major, and I remember there were a lot of foreign nationals in those classes. There were a lot of Indian nationals, Chinese nationals. It seems like math and sciences is kind of moving away from this country into other countries. So I'd like to know if you've noticed that phenomenon, too, if that's something that bothers you. We'll come back with that after the break. This is Jack Wilencheck on Legalese on KFNX 1100 AM.
A righty on the left coast. The Lars Larson Show. Weeknights at 10 on KFNX.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilencheck and Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilencheck and Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilencheck & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
How would you like to put your troubles with the IRS behind you? If you are behind on your taxes, don't try negotiating with the IRS alone. The IRS can take advantage of taxpayers who don't know the law or collection procedures. Ameristar's team of enrolled agents, tax professionals, and CPAs with master's degrees in taxation can go to work to protect you from paying too much. Get fast relief with Ameristar Tax Centers. Once the proper paperwork is filed, Ameristar will deal with the IRS directly so you don't have to. Plus, Ameristar Tax Center is a certified member of the Tax Freedom Institute. We know your rights. We know the secrets to getting you maximum savings. Get real tax relief by calling for a free, no-obligation consultation. The call is free. The consultation is free. Call 800-761-7056. If the IRS is garnishing your wages or sending threatening letters, we can help. Call now. 800-761-7056. 800-761-7056.
At the American Lung Association, we're fighting for a day when we can all breathe easier. We're fighting for clear skies over every city and healthy lungs throughout the country. We're fighting to keep harmful secondhand smoke out of our public spaces and workplaces, and fighting to free millions of Americans from the addictive grip of tobacco and the devastating effects of lung disease. We're fighting for a day when kids no longer battle airborne poisons in their own homes or the fear of an asthma attack. The American Lung Association isn't just fighting for air, we're fighting for all the things that make it worth breathing, and we can use your help. Join us in the fight. Visit fightingforair.org and read about just a few of the many ways the American Lung Association is fighting to protect the air we breathe, both indoors and out. See what you can do at fightingforair.org.
I try to sleep, they're wide awake, they won't let me alone. They don't get paid to take vacations, they'll let me alone. They spy on me, I try to hide, they won't let me alone. They persecute me, they're the judges, jury, all in one.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Wilinchek. Your regular host, Dennis Wilinchek, is tied up in court. Today on the show, we have three ASU students who are all active and interested in politics and current events. For Lord knows what reason. I was just telling them I never cared about any of that when I was in college. We're going to talk a little bit about, because I really noticed this when I went to ASU, there were very few Americans in math and science classes. It seems like, you know, it was very popular to take humanities, political science. I know we have a few political science majors in here. There are very few Americans who took an interest in math and sciences. I know that bothers a lot of people who I remember back in the 50s when there was a giant push to focus on that back in the days of Sputnik, and nothing that anybody in this theory remembers. But do you guys think that's a problem? That we're not on top of math and sciences anymore, like these countries, you know, like India and China are. Do you think that's an issue?
I think it's a major issue, but I also think we should be, you know, increasing immigration from India and China to make up for all these jobs that are here. We also have to realize, you know, we have Silicon Valley, you know, we're still a rather smart country when it comes to technology. But I think, you know, math and science, it has to come from the high school level, and that's where it starts to get them interested. And I think that's where we've been failing at.
So they come from India and China. They study in our great universities, and then they don't stay here. They leave. They go back because that's where a lot of the big jobs are, a lot of the money is. Like Abraham mentioned, we do still have some aspect of that, but it would not be bad for us to be the leader in jobs for math and science. That would not hurt our situation. It's a business economics debate at that point, but I do see it as a big problem and something that we need to fix.
Part of that problem, you know, even though I studied math in college, I went on to law school to become a lawyer. So there was talk earlier in the year about banning guns on the ASU campus. I'm not too familiar with that, but I think you guys are. Kristen, you were saying that right now, they're not banned completely, or what's the status?
You can't have guns on campus.
Period.
So they are banned.
So what was the issue? They were trying to allow guns on campus but not in classrooms?
You basically could walk around on campus with a gun, but you couldn't take it in a classroom with you.
Was that what the rule was, and then they changed it?
That's what the law contained.
Okay. Well, how do you guys feel about that?
I think that's a little bit ridiculous. What are you going to do? Have a gun check at every single entrance of the classroom?
Hard to enforce. Yeah.
It's very hard to enforce, and it's very restrictive, and it's confusing. That's really bad for something that's really important. That's guns. Something that we shouldn't be restricting. You're safer when people have guns.
Okay, you're for free possession of firearms.
Of course, of course. like we've seen it now again in West Virginia, or no, Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
When only the madmen have guns, the rule followers are the ones that get hurt.
I've got a friend who's really big on this, and that's his argument too, usually, is that it can only help because you've got this stuff happening anyway, which is a tragedy. But, well, how do the rest of you guys feel?
Well, I'm definitely pro Second Amendment.
So, right.
Yeah,
right.
But having guns on campus, just, I don't know, I just think it's a little too extreme for me. I would just feel more tense going to class, and when I go to class, I just want to focus on what I'm learning and not worrying that, like, all the people around me have a gun with them. So that's just how I feel.
What about you, Abraham?
Yeah, I philosophically agree with Carlos, but, you know, on a practical point, I'm probably bigger than Chris.
That's a funny feeling, isn't it? Yeah, your politics are one way, and then you know, reality is another way. I think I've had that feeling a lot, especially as I get older. I just bought my sister a taser. she's a student at at U of A, because it's kind of dangerous down there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I guess you can still carry a taser on campus.
But I think in the practical sense, if you look at places like Chicago or D.C., where they have really restricted gun laws, or even Mexico, where there's no guns allowed, you see the rule breakers, yeah. the cartels yeah. having these guns, and the people that actually follow the rules are the ones getting hurt, and they're the ones getting shot, they're the ones being controlled by the bad people. So yeah. I don't think it's necessarily a bad practice. So it works practically. It's not only philosophically right, it's practically right, because you see that guns that have guns, I mean, countries that have guns are usually safer.
Yeah, I think there's some validity to that point. Let me ask you guys this. It's been too long for me to remember high school, but I never had any sex education in high school. But what are your thoughts on that issue? Do you think that there should be sex education in middle and high school? I guess this question is good for you guys because you're young enough to remember high school. I never went through that. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think that, I mean, if the parents are paying for it with their tax dollars, they should have a say on whether they want their children to yeah. learn it or not. And that's why we have to kind of break it apart into a state-by-state, maybe even county-by-county system. And that's a big problem that having public education brings. Right. So, I mean, it's not like I can choose what school to go to, and this one teaches sex ed and this one doesn't. What it's effectively doing is having one rule for almost all children. There's no choice there. So
right.
I guess I wouldn't have a problem with it because people are paying for it anyway, so they should have a say.
That makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah, it's a constitutional right to have a say in the way your children are brought up. I think I agree with that. That sex education should probably be within the province of what the parent wants for their child. Do you guys have any thoughts on that issue? Or
I agree with Carlos fully. If your taxpayers are going to be spent towards sex education, I think you should have a say if your child gets it or not. So I think you should even go down to the district level. If it has to come down to it, I think mostly the parents yeah. should teach their children about that.
Yeah, but you know they also teach not to use drugs in school, so they do have some moral responsibility in the classroom, and so I generally agree that it's left up to the parents, and schools shouldn't choose which sex ed to teach mm-hmm. abstinence versus sex ed, but. So I think there can be a mixture of both and offer multiple classes probably.
I think it's also useful to talk about the effectiveness of these programs. I mean, like DARE. I don't know if you guys went through that. It was the drug prevention program that
very
was
a big memory.
There is no way you're going to prevent students from smoking pot just to go to a DARE seminar or whatever. Right. I think that we should also look at the effectiveness of these programs and change them. That's a big problem with the government programs is that they don't react to causes.
There's usually considered a big example of that, a big failure to have an effect with educating people about drugs. I'll switch the topic up a little bit here. The Tea Party. Let's discuss our thoughts and opinions on the Tea Party. I know that I find generally that very conservative movements don't have a lot of hold among the youth. I mean, it's an old, I don't know if it's true, but most people think generally youth tend to be more liberal, and as people get older, they tend to be more conservative. So the Tea Party, of course, is a very conservative movement. What thoughts do you guys have about it? We'll start with you, Carlos.
Well, at the beginning of it, I welcomed it. I mean, I think that their main point was, and I think in some ways still is, to lower taxes and cut spending. And I think that's what their main focus was about. And they got a lot of people out there because they believed in this issue. This was a huge, huge uproar by middle-income families as well as even poorer families because they saw their tax dollars leaving going to places like bailing out banks and the bailouts and the stimulus package, things that don't work and that only help that 1% or that help the well politically connected. So I see it as a good thing. It's put more conservative people into office. Not that it's done that much of a help. I mean, our taxes are still pretty high. But I think that if we keep it consistent, if the Tea Party keeps moving and doesn't water down, that we can see some results in the long run.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you just said. I like that fiscal conservatism. I, being a young man, tend to be a little bit liberal on some other issues, but I do like fiscal conservatism. What are your thoughts about the Tea Party, Kristen?
I like their message. Cutting taxes and cutting spending is all great and all, but I just wish they would have started before the election of 2008 to get their message out, more like back when a New Deal was implemented. But, fiscally they're great, but...
Yeah, they take some extreme positions, it seems to me, on some other social issues. What do you think, Abraham?
Well, I've interned at FreedomWorks, which is a national Tea Party organization, you know, for two summers now. You know, I love the Tea Party. They don't really stand for social issues. They're more about fiscal issues and getting our house, you know, in order. And I think they've been a great service by getting, you know, senators elected that stand for fiscal restraint. So, you know, I agree with Carlos and Kristen, but, you know, the Tea Party is a direct result of the Bush bailouts, I think. So it's not necessarily a direct result of Obama, and I think we're going to continue forward with them.
Yeah, part of the issue is there's really no official Tea Party, so it's sometimes unclear what the message is. And mm-hmm. We're going to wrap it up. I want to thank all you guys for being on the show today. I've been talking to three ASU students, Kristen Middleton, Carlos Alfaro, and Abraham Hamade. We're all future politicians, future journalists. People are going to make a real difference in the world. This is Jack Wilinchek on KFNX 1100 AM, signing off. Your regular host, Dennis Wilinchek, will be back next week.
Be sure to stay tuned for Michael Savage coming up next.
Every day's a holiday in Healthy Habit Health Food Store, 6029 North 7th Street. Tune in to Healthy House Call discussing the latest breakthroughs of integrative medicine. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. and call with your questions, 602-266-1000. Discover world-class physicians, medical researchers, Hollywood celebrities, professional athletes, and testimonials from our patients and consumers of natural products. Call 602-266-1000.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, Ph.D., host of Healthline. Join me live to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works. This holiday season, we have several Quantum Stage supplements on special, perfect as a gift for yourself or loved ones. Support your health during the cold winter season with a premier winter kit. Promote your best digestion with the HCL Detox Kit. And enjoy whole body herbal rejuvenation with Quantum 360. Everything is buy two and get a third one free. What a deal.